Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have no choice but to embark on this perilous journey.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of 3 of Doctor Do More.
This is the name. You're not treating this with the seriousness which it demands of us. This is Do More.
Hi, welcome along to episode 3 of 3 of Do More with Tim Van Gogh. We've just spent a day, which I just did the maths. We did 5 hours with Dr. Doolittle today.
It's not that much. For us.
Yeah, but it is a lot by ordinary standards. Mm. We've just exited the Cineplex. We are in the upstairs car park here at West City Waitakere, and we're ready standing.
We're ready to put our foot in a car.
I think it's important to note that we're standing because I would imagine this is the first podcast in the history of the world to be recorded upright.
We've done one before, I think, in the studio where we decided to stand. It was like season 2 or something.
Do you remember once we recorded a prototype for a podcast that was never released where we just held eye contact for about 45 minutes and talked to each other?
The Eye Contact Project or whatever the fuck it was called.
That's a great idea for a podcast.
Yeah.
Eventually, I guess it stops being interesting and then you're just talking though.
Yeah, but interesting stuff does happen when you can't break eye contact with someone. It was quite a long time as well, I think.
Yeah, we went for longer than I thought.
That episode was ages.
Anyway, we have now seen Dr. Doolittle 3 times out of 3. And mercy me, it's good to be back out. We had the entire cinema to ourselves once again.
Went a bit stir crazy in there.
So out of a possible, wait, hold on a second. Let me do the math here.
720
tickets. Yeah. The cinema successfully sold 14.
Yep.
So that's 14.
In fact, we were quizzing the staff about it, sort of seeing how it was going, seeing if we were going to have an impact on programming like we did with Cats. We were assured by the good people at Newmarket Rialto. And they said, probably not. They just require us to play it a lot of times. And so we just keep putting it on during the day.
And full admission, we were actually late to the screening of Dr. Doolittle. So we walked into this. As we bought the tickets, the woman who'd served us all day behind the counter said...
She was getting a real kick out of it,
she
too.
She said, oh, you guys are by yourselves again. And so we were like, oh, that's cool. And we went to the cinema. No one in there. The movie was just playing.
It actually shocked me because I think that's not automated. I think there's a projectionist that needs to put it on and stuff. So, like, at what point do you just not play?
It felt like the definition of insanity.
It was very, for me, like a Schrodinger's cat thing. It's like, shit does happen when you're not there to observe it. It actually does keep ticking over.
It's the tree in the forest, isn't it? Yeah. If Dr. Doolittle screens...
And no one is there.
3:10 p.m. at Waitakere,
no
West City.
Yeah,
is Dr. Doolittle playing? And we can confirm the answer is yes.
We've cracked it.
We really stretched out this time. We took full advantage of the cinema. We spoke freely to one another.
We ran around, did a few laps.
I gave the movie a standing ovation up and down every single aisle of the 240-seat cinema, and then started a Viking clap, which is where you stand at the front of a crowd. And you clap your hands together above your head to try and get everyone to clap in time. And you joined in pretty begrudgingly after like...
It's because I was with you for your standing O until the last... I thought you were done and then there was another row left. And I was like, I'm out. This is enough. And then on top of that, you start... Because that took minutes. And then
I wanted to come
the
all the way
clap.
Back up because we were sitting near the back. But
it wasn't happening.
Truly, it's really tiring to clap constantly.
It was a really arduous third watch in a row.
Yeah, very restless. I think the knowledge we were on our way out meant we probably, I certainly didn't give it what it was due.
We were on bad behavior too. If we did this and there were other people in, particularly for that last one, it would have changed the tone quite a bit.
100%. I think the other people in the cinema serve a purpose. Part of the reason you go to the cinema is to watch something around people.
We live in a society.
We live in a society.
It's about regulation.
Yeah, and without them, it did feel like, again, it was just Tim and Guy left for their own devices, quite literally. Yeah. I did some emails, looked at some photos.
You did a few emails, and then I got upset.
Yeah, you got cosmic.
Like it.
And then even when I was taking a note later on, Tim said, Eyes on the screen. No, I was in my notes at that point. You could see I was in my notes. I'll tell you what I wrote.
I'm not looking that deeply at your phone. I don't think I've got the eyesight to determine that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What I wrote is, why do all these movies have to end with a CGI dragon? Is it just me, or do all bad kids' movies at some point involve a dragon? And it's always in a cave, and the dragon always turns out to be fine.
Dragons are cool when you're a kid.
Yeah, and adults kind of like them too, but I just feel like dragons are played out, man.
Yeah, too many dragons. Doolittle didn't need one. Man,
it really didn't. It seems insane to say, but it sort of breaks the realm of the movie.
Yeah, they do a bad job of establishing any coherent language.
Yeah, because it's like,
logic,
if it's all the animals, that's fine. But then it's like, and there's a dragon, because it's otherwise set in our world, in the real world. And it's like, and then there's a dragon?
Yeah.
It just pisses me. It pisses me right off, Tim.
When you compare it to the trailer, which has got the how would you describe that kind of languid, soulful, female-sung version of What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong?
I describe it as bad.
Okay.
It's really slow and moribund.
What does that mean?
Sort of, I believe it's in the same family as morose, but sort of like quite somber and downcast downbeat.
Mm.
Imagine if it was the original Louis Armstrong version. I mean, they had $175 million to spend. They didn't need to hire a producer's cousin.
Do you know where my mind goes, though, is... what was the Michael Moore Bowling for Columbine that used there in that incredible scene?
I've not seen Bowling for Columbine.
You should. I don't know if it holds up, but it probably is a doco, so it's fine. The trailer set me up. I don't know if this was just me being a bit primed for it, but I thought it was going to have a bit of an undercurrent of being about climate change and environmental issues, and it didn't at all. And it seems like such an opportunity there to like. Just, you know, doll up another
little... Because they say Wonderful World and it's about animals.
And it's big sweeping shots. It's like the planet, animals, living organisms.
We're
out here. And there's kind of like elements of it, super subtly. The ship that the baddies are on is coal powered.
But it's a period piece.
Yeah.
They weren't worried about climate change at the point
but you just reverse engineer that shit in to the film.
Yeah, I mean, they
felt like an opportunity.
And why wouldn't they? They were trying a lot already. There's no cohesion. You're right. The word cohesion is what springs to mind. There's nothing that apart from the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is doing his batshit accent the whole time and he can talk to animals, there's nothing to otherwise unite the spare parts of this movie.
Mm.
It's really, really annoying. And
do you think it's badly edited?
I think the editors were answering to a variety of different people and motivations.
It feels like a lot of hands on it, eh?
Yeah.
Because that's
how you get those little glimpses of a scene. Mm. And actually, if we are going to talk about glimpses of a scene,
and
some comedic beats do hit, and one of them which hit every time, and I would not be able to forgive myself if I didn't say as much.
Listen, to be fair to you and to Robert Downey Jr., the following work.
Yeah. There's when we're on Michael Sheen, a.k.a. the Scarlet Pimpernel, his ship chasing Doolittle, someone goes to kill a fly and they slam down like a spatula, but there's a perfectly fly-shaped hole in the spatula that the fly survives through. And then we hear the fly say, "It's a miracle!
I'm the chosen one!
Yeah, I'm the chosen one! I'm going to change the world!" And then it flies out of the ship window and immediately gets gulped by a gull. And you hear the sort of, "Yeah!" And then it cuts back to Michael Sheen inside going, "A thesis on whales," or something. Really over the top pantomime sort of children's villain entertainment.
That joke works because they don't hang in it.
Yeah,
it's like a nice little sequence that plays out, and then we fuck off onto a different thing, and it's great.
It really
one works.
And like,
well done. You
also
pulled off
beyond
a,
that,
a
they
joke.
Get like the we haven't even mentioned the fact that Will Arnett is also in this movie.
Yeah, who cares, man? How are you feeling?
I'm done.
What's in your heart?
I just think it's crazy.
Tell me the emotions that go through you when you go through Doolittle.
I feel fine. I'm just like, I just want to, honestly, this is rude to you, but I just want to finish talking. I want to finish all of it. I want to finish talking about it. I want to finish feeling bad for doing my emails. I want to be in the car driving home, listening to music and talking about literally anything else.
This is bad. This is different from Cats. Cats we were excited to engage with.
Cats, the music we were listening to was the movie.
We actually were singing Cats in Doolittle this time. We just got so bored, we started singing songs from Cats.
And there's something to be said that we got to see after, like, there is connective tissue. At one point, also a constant laugh, Robert Downey Jr., when he's dealing with the tiger, the tiger's saying, "You won't outsmart." And then Robert Downey Jr. leaps in spite of being weighed down by significant metal chains.
Yeah, it cuts to him three stories in the air on a windowsill that he's done in an instant.
And he's next to the window and he's got something to reflect the light. And the cat's saying, "You won't outsmart." It's Barry the tiger. "You won't outsmart." And then he flashes this little dot of light past the tiger's eye on the floor. And the cat goes, "Oh, what is it? It's over here." And then Robert Downey Jr. goes, "Oh, no, it's over here." And then Robert Downey Jr. starts talking about cats, being like, "You can always distract a cat." And that was very Cats for me. And that was really nice. Like, that honestly felt like home. That felt like a place in the movie I wanted to stay for longer. And then there are moments of mood, like, which certain songs sync up to very well. Ghosts, Taylor Swift's original song from the Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tom Hooper collaboration, Cats 2019. We sang that reprise several times.
Yeah.
And also, and like
Buster for Jones.
Buster for Jones. "I'm not skin and bones." "That's the word from the saltiest of cats." I have to sing that because it has been in my mind every single day since we did
Stays
My Week
you,
with
right?
Cats.
It's like, do you remember when Britney Spears made a song using AI? They like got an artificial intelligence program to write a song for her. It might have been Poison.
Toxic.
"In
the taste of your lips, I'm everything."
But it's like Cats is like that. I know we're not talking about Cats, but I will say this.
Listen to the way we gravitate back to Cats. Isn't that how badly we want to sink our fangs back into a little bit of Cats?
It's crazy.
I didn't. The other world that I could have spent more time in the movie on, and it sort of had shades of Dick Van Dyke's character in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Did you watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I don't know if I've seen it once ever.
I think that in a way that was an inspiration for this film because Michael Sheen's villain had shades of the Child Catcher, very sort of over the top. Lampoonish style villainy, but also quite ominous and genuinely, I think, if you're a child, scary.
Yeah.
But then also, Dick Van Dyke's character was an inventor in this movie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And I wanted to spend a lot more time with the Rube Goldberg machines. We've got a few of those.
Yes.
We've got, like, in the house at Robert Downey Jr.'s house, there's a railway train that runs above, sort of, you know, between the above your head and
sort
between
of a
the ceiling.
Track.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the mice.
Mice are driving that. And then when he's cooking lunch for everyone, he turns on a machine and like it starts processing these apples.
Yeah.
And then later on when they call the whales, they beckon the whales. He's sort of built this multi-instrument hyphenate that the monkeys play that sends sonar waves through the water.
It's quite cool. It's got like a violin taped to a brass instrument, like a tuba phone, and then it points to the water and blasts out a signal.
I want to spend more time around those inventions.
The whale net thing's kind of cool too. It's a neat idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of thing that you'd be like, hey, I wonder if that'd work, where they get a big net and they put it in the water and they talk to the whale to draw a whale in, and then they put Humphrey the whale in the net, and then Humphrey drags the boat along at speed and like just fucking paces it.
I think if you could communicate with whales, it would, within our reality, I feel like the whale would go downwards. Would swim down and pull the boat down. But if you can just get the whale to sit at that service level,
yeah,
why wouldn't it work?
Yeah, man. Because they're so big, they're already carrying like however much they weigh, a ton or something. They could probably carry
a ship. What do you think of the CGI on the whales?
Pretty good. I thought the CGI was pretty
good
all around.
Can you rank the animals in terms of worst to best we'll go? What's the worst CGI you saw in the film?
There's a long shot of, what is it of? It's early in the film and it's, I think it's John Cena's polar bear. And I think that's bad.
Da, 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 da.
It seems to be easier to do close-up CGI. And I think that's owed to digital fur technology to sell it.
I see.
But this movie was pretty good on the CGI. It was pretty seamless.
Yeah.
The monkeys were fucking sensational. I'm convinced they were real monkeys.
You grow into it. That first time you see a squirrel that flex from the CGI industry, you're like, oh, this is CGI. But then eventually your eyes adjust and you just accept that as the world.
It might be. Or it might be the squirrel's the worst, perhaps. It's especially coming out of the cartoon intro and then suddenly you're in the real world. So that's a big gear change. And then suddenly there's CGI in the real world we're seeing on top of that. And you're like, oh, fucking, I don't know about all this.
It's a nice animation style. You'd want to sit in it for longer. Yeah. Or even bookend it. Like,
because they've...
Emma Thompson's... Oh, you go, sorry.
And that cartoon as well, it's definitely Robert Downey Jr. It's not a generic, based on the illustrations of the original book. It's him being Doolittle.
And Emma Thompson's narrator, who's introduced real top heavy, it's like, bang, here's the story, here are the details you need to know. I'm talking over pictures, so everything is laid out as clearly as possible. Totally abandoned until halfway through when they're losing their way again, and so they reintroduce it. It would not be a stretch. So sorry for that cough. It would not be a stretch for the movie to bookend itself by ending on the same style animation. Emma Thompson's already speaking over it. Like, it would at least just feel neat. And this movie's not.
The floor drops out of this film. The end just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You feel very like, whoa. It's very jerky. Which the credits
it almost works for it. I think it's why that second watch whisked by, because it's like, even Cats, you know, Cats, it feels like I would identify a moment. I'd be like, this is the beginning of the ends of Cats. And then I watch 30 to 35 minutes more of songs. But this, it's like, you don't even know what marks the ending. It's like all of a sudden they go, you know, you're plodding along. And it's like, and we're out of there.
Was this as bad as you were primed for?
Yeah, and about perfectly. And one watch wouldn't have said that. One watch I would have been like, this is not as bad as... Like, people were really mean about this movie.
Yeah.
And after one watch, I was like, it's not the end of the world. Yeah. But after three, I'm like, when I think about if I'm in a hotel or at home and I'm flicking channels and like
Stop thinking about these fantastic cats.
If I'm flicking channels and Doolittle's on, I'm not sticking around for a moment. I'm not, like, curious to see one bit. I'm like, okay, get going, get out of here.
Do you fear that the worst idea of all time has broken your brain for film, though, as well? Because a lot of people say that to us. We'll express an opinion about a movie while out in the wild, and people will say, well, yeah, but, you know, you're fucked in the head, mate, from your podcast. And we'll say, well, that's fair enough. And I feel that, especially, I don't think I've ever felt it more viscerally than watching Doolittle. I'm like, I don't know what's broken, the movie or me or both.
Both, because outside of the podcast, you would know better than to watch Doolittle.
I think that's right. I'm not a child, though. It's not made for me, you know?
But I love Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I went to the cinema to watch Toy Story 4 and cried.
You're right. And Robert Downey Jr. being the leading man in this does sort of lean into the, you know, 25 to 35 male market.
Who acquits themselves well? Who comes out of this movie better or neutral to how they went in? I think Emma Thompson loses points for doing it.
Oh, okay. Well, John Cena throws down a great performance.
I think John Cena does well. I think Kumail does well. I think he's notably the funniest, which is all you could ask for if you've cast like...
Whoever voices that dancing orangutan, I'm fucking here for them. Yeah. And I want a sequel, which is Antonio Banderas and that monkey, and that's... the film.
What's it called?
Dunstan Checks In.
Again?
Dunstan Checks In. The first one's called Dunstan Checks In, eh?
Yeah.
This will be Dunstan Checks Out. And it's about him getting off the island with Antonio Banderas.
Connected to the universe of Dunstan Checks In?
Yeah, it's a crossover.
So is Jason Alexander in it?
No, because it's a prequel. This is the origin story of Dunstan. This is Dunstan's dad. Dunstan's dad has dancing fever, and he needs to get to Ibiza, and he does so with Antonio Banderas to dance his little tushy off.
And then Dunstan and then meets gets to New mum. York.
Dunstan, the son, then gets to New York.
Wow.
It's an old monkey, though, because I think it's not explicitly said, but all the clues lead us to believe that the Doolittle is set in, they should call it the Doolittle. Is set in, early 1800s, maybe?
They spend a lot of the time in this movie, and by a lot,
what do you
I
think
mean,
of Dunstan Checks Out, though?
I'm all in for Dunstan Checks Out. I was just going to say...
Who will they cast as the love interest for the monkey? Like, who's going to voice the...
Winona Ryder.
I love that. I love that for her, and I love that for you.
It's a great career move.
Yeah.
Who's directing? Hooper.
No.
Put him back in. He's ready.
No. There's no songs
He goes,
in this.
Too good, one bad.
No.
There were no songs in the King's Speech. It was just Colin Firth going,
mate.
Today, Junior.
Safety Brothers.
Oh, wow.
It's
stressful.
Like, it's interesting. It's full on, but it's fun, and it's funny, and we've got a lot of, like, you know.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Wait, who did Big Lebowski?
The Coen Brothers.
The Coen Brothers should direct this film. Dunstan Checks Out, Coen Brothers direct.
Banderas, whoever the voice is, Ryder.
Yes.
the time, 1920s Ibiza.
Yes. Yes. This sells itself. Come on.
The Roaring Twenties. It's of
produced
this time
by
as
Robbie
well.
Margot.
Oh.
She's not in it.
Margot Robbie?
Margot Robbie. There's a tricky one.
It's really not.
It's not at all.
It's a good movie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I was going to say
yes.
That the movie spends a bit of time trying to figure out what irony is.
Yeah.
He says Robert Downey Jr. described something as ironic to, I've lost it now, Stubbs.
The boy.
Stubbs?
Stubbins.
Stubbins. Fuck, yeah, nice.
Is it?
It's in the neighborhood. It's around the word stubborn.
Cubbin.
Because that's
saying
one of
cubbins.
The characteristics he has. Stubbins. That's how I remembered. He's a stubborn young boy. He keeps saying, I'm doing it. And so he's called Stubbins.
Gotcha.
That's a trigger of the memory I used. Anyway, nice. Downey Jr. is trying to explain what irony is to Stubbins. And then Banderas comes in and says, no, this is what irony is. Both of them give pretty site-specific examples and it really illuminate what irony is. And then all of this to say, this is really roundabout, is it not ironic that a movie called Dr. Dolittle failed because it tried to do so much?
Fuck me. Yeah, I guess so, dude.
Are you laughing at me or are you laughing with me? Because I cannot tell.
Everything. Mainly at you. No, mainly not at you. Mainly
no,
with
that's
you.
Fair.
It's fucked. That's very funny to me. And you're not wrong.
Who comes out of this movie badly? Who's it damaging?
Not Mandzukas. He's the same character in everything he does, and I love that, including him
horny
just being himself
horny voice talent
on podcasts.
I was,
like, you hear him on Comedy Bang Bang, that's him.
Big shout out to Comedy Bang Bang, if you don't know it.
You see him on Big Mouth, it's just him.
Yeah.
You see him in this film, he's still just a hornbag.
He's carving out quite a nice niche, because we know him as that sort of, you know, improvisational podcast talent who is now getting his due by showing up in the movies. But as a child, if you sort of piece together, you know, the roles he has, he'd be this really cool cat. You know, he's like, he might probably not be see me because he didn't come up through podcasts, but he's carving out this interesting world
okay.
where people would always be stoked to see him show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not just with the knowledge of his career to the point at which he is now, but like just seeing him and everything, like, who is this guy?
Yeah,
why is he
keep
showing up?
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
this guy.
Who's this fucking
why
interesting
is he not
dude?
In more?
Yeah, yeah.
And I like the idea of that. And like, doing a kids movie like this is a good move for that. And for Kumail, although I don't know why it bothers me, but he shouldn't be that muscly.
Who?
Kumail. Not in the movie. Not in this movie.
Oh. You're talking about his upcoming role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He shouldn't be that muscly.
He's too strong.
Fuck you.
Fuck Disney.
He can do
Stop making
wants.
Everyone that strong.
Yeah, actually, they should this is... Okay, now we're off topic. This is why they should reboot X-Men and celebrate, like, the Blob and Juggernaut and get some big boys on screen. Someone for me to root for.
It's just...
And some skinny boys. Get Toad, but make them cool.
It's just ridiculous. It's like... And also, if you get everyone to be that strong, no one looks that strong. It's like if you put all of them next to each other, you're like, oh.
And they were almost killing themselves. Like, did you see that thing? Henry, and I know this is the thing they all do, but Henry Cavill? That's how you say his name, mate.
Was he Superman at one
Superman,
point?
Superman, yeah, yeah. How he was talking about the state of dehydration he had to get in for a bath in The Witcher, the Netflix series. He's like, yeah, I didn't drink any water for 2 days. It's like, you're fucking, like, near death just to shoot a scene to look ripped. Like, that's
I've not watched The Witcher, but I'm pretty sure it's not worth it, dude.
Absolutely not.
You need better people by your side. You need people saying, hey, Henry, you've got millions of dollars
Hollywood's
already.
Bad. It's a bad scene, man. It's a bad scene. It's making people do bad things.
Mm.
Dehydrating themselves for bath scenes, etc. Do you think Doolittle's going to get a sequel? Because I don't think it's like a given that it won't. I reckon it might.
Nah. They didn't do it. They haven't earned it. Not that you
Neither
need to
Ice
in this
Age.
World. Ice Age did.
Did it?
It earned the first one. I saw Ice Age at the cinema. I took my young cousins. We had a great time.
Okay.
Can't remember the characters of the story. There's a big acorn that creates a huge fissure.
Ray Romano in there?
You'd like to think so.
Is it Ray's brother?
Oh.
One of them's in
Krang.
It. Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. Yes, Ray's brother. Would this movie, Doolittle we're talking about, improved or suffered with more characters? There's a lot of people in there, but what if you just keep chucking
No,
we love the dancing it's monkey.
Yes.
Maybe you'll hit another one of those,
but
you just keep throwing people
you've
in.
You've got a handful of characters, not unlike the dancing monkey or Jeff or whoever the guy was on the boat.
Jeff
you've
the
got
guillotine.
Guys you want to see more from. You've got people or animals and you're like, why are you not sticking around? I want to spend a bit of time with you. Mm. You've already got those characters that you're craving in the movie. It's not about like throwing more darts at the board. It's about looking at what you've got and saying, how do we build the best score here? And it's just, I think of a similar thing if I'm trying to write an hour-long show with jokes or I'm trying to write jokes. It's like, concentrate on the promise you have in front of you. You don't need to keep going further and further out and like creating this this super vast world of characters and then eventually looking at all of it and not even realizing which of them are good and which of them are no good because you just can't see the forest for the trees because you're just looking at a list of names as far as you can go. Like, you need to fucking boil it down to its component parts and be like, this, this, and this.
Okay,
these
I like
are the
this.
Things we like. This is what we need to concentrate
so
on.
So what should Doolittle have been? What is the core of Doolittle?
Doolittle should have been, the setup is fantastic. The cartoon at the top is brilliant. I wouldn't mind, not unlike Into the Spider-Verse, but I wouldn't mind like more multimedia elements. Like you've got this fanciful world. You introduce this cartoon element early. Don't be afraid to deviate back to that. If you had trouble shooting the live action stuff, go back into the cartoon world. Like you can animate and take care of the story.
Even just to use it as interstitials
after
to get us from point A to B.
And, they can be these great bookends or chapter beginnings or endings. Yeah. And, like, it can just clarify.
Because this was a book, eh?
Yeah, it's sort of a book. I don't know, not that. This particular story, but, like, the premise. And, you know, the Thornberrys did it better than he. The Thornberrys is a great show. Wild Thornberrys, if you don't know, it was a Nickelodeon show. It was about a girl named Eliza Thornberry, voiced by Lacey Chabot, and she would go around
talking
to animals with her family. Her dad was a nature documentarian in the mold of Richard Attenborough. It was a great show. In this one, I think you need the same story. Doolittle's he's depressed, he's morose, he's down and out because his wife is dead.
That's a weird jumping off point for a kids'
it's
movie,
pretty,
by the way.
It's
we'll
pretty,
get to that.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. But so you need the call to action, which is like, if you don't go and do this, if you don't go and take care of business for the queen, the setup's brilliant. Pretty much
all the animals will cease to have sanctuary if you don't do this thing.
I think from there, it's just streamlining the story. It's like, I mean, beat for beat, technically it should work. It's just not funny enough. It's not funny enough, and there are too many characters who are thin and not fleshed out.
You're in this so deep. I love it. Like you're a studio exec going, fuck, we might need to pull the plug.
Well, I'm looking at it. Like, this is what fucks me off about Hollywood and what like almost inspires me to be like, I'll just make more stuff and some of it will eventually be good. It's like, I feel like I can see the studio exec sitting in there being like, we've almost got it. Like, we have all the component parts to make a delicious movie here.
Yeah.
And then like they pull out the first try and they're like, oh, that's not quite it. Instead of baking a fresh cake, they just put more icing and ingredients on it. And then they go, is this a cake? You've got the ingredients. You've got the book. You've got the money. Make me a fucking cake. Just like They're happy. They're fine with it being bad or wrong. Like it's all money, isn't it? That's the imperative. They just need to make money. That's all they want to do, and that's why the timelines are all wrong. Because they say this is when it's coming out. This is why the Sonic movie is exciting, because they put something out into the world, and everyone said no, and for the first time, like that I can remember, really, they're like, okay.
All right, we'll go back, hear you.
And we'll fucking sort out the shit that's pissing you off. You can't do it all the time. You can't.
You know what they didn't do that for? Cats.
They did not do that for Cats.
Everyone told them, this is terrifying. And they were like, well, you're getting it anyway.
And, yeah, and, you know, but Cats still is a bit of fun. And, like, you can't do it all the
you're
time.
You're all over them, man.
You can't let audiences choose what you do. Like, writers on TV shows that have obsessive fan bases, sometimes they say they can or they do. I don't know what their relationship with the forums are, but if you go on the forums, it'll fuck your head because you'll be going somewhere and some intelligent fan will send you
somewhere
else.
Apparently, though, the writers have lost were using internet forums to
and you wouldn't know it to watch the end of the fucking series. All I'm saying is just, I don't know, read the room. Try a little bit harder. Just because you got Robert Downey Jr. and 10 names in gold embossed fucking, you know, font on a black background at the end of the trailer, that doesn't mean what you've made is good. It's not ready. Just because the end of the trailer looks good, it doesn't mean it's ready. And it pisses me off. It was bad.
I guess it's the difference between making a good movie and making a marketable film. Yeah. As long as people get in the door and pay their ticket price.
This is the grown-ups thing. Adam Sandler says, hey, here's the poster. Me, Kevin James, Chris Rock, David Spade. But we're kids. The movie's about us being grown up.
Sort of.
The rest fucking day. Yeah.
And I guess the rest we'll figure it out on the day.
That's marketability.
Yeah.
People go to that movie.
So,
how great is the Sandman going at the moment, by the way?
God bless him. He's earned it.
Legend. It's a very Downey Jr. is doing it now as well. We know he's capable of greatness. And he just shits something out.
At one specific thing. Downey Jr.'s got a single gear. The thing that's shocking about the Sandman.
He was good in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he can do like pomposity and smugness and overconfidence. Yeah, okay, you look at the whole Iron Man career.
Yeah, yeah. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang I enjoyed.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen any of his early career before. Because he was on a skyrocket to fame. And then he was an addict. He was ill and he disappeared. He took care of himself, and then he came back and had a great renaissance.
Why are there? I think Iron Man was like his coming back, wasn't it?
Because he got nominated for an Oscar for playing Charlie Chaplin. That's a movie I'd see.
Huh?
I've seen Doctor Dolittle three times in a day.
Films and sitcoms start off with the woman's died, the mum's died, the wife's dead.
Yeah,
you know, step by step. I'm pretty sure. No, that was
Full
Suzanne
House.
Summers, wasn't it? Full House, definitely.
Yeah.
I think there's a raft of them. I'm pretty sure at least
you know
one
it
of
is?
Their mums and Saved by the Bell.
It's the two male creators bring a script, and the note they get is, the characters aren't strong enough. You need to go and rewrite them. And they go, okay, rewrite them, you say. And they go away, and they just kill it off because it's too much work. And they come back, and they say, a man with something to prove.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because that's the jumping off point for this as well. Which is because it really feels like there should have been a movie before this so that we can ingratiate ourselves into the Lily character.
True.
But then we're just like, here's a 2-minute animated Emma Thompson prelude.
Do you know what might...
I want to see Lily.
Do you know what might scare critics and punters away from Dunstan Checks Out?
What?
Its association with the Doolittle universe. We need to create space and distance between the two films.
Mate, look at Birds of Prey. Doing very well. Where did that come from? Suicide Squad. Everyone fucking hated the former and everyone's getting pretty into the latter. It can be done. Dunstan Checks Out. The Coens are the ones to pull this off. It's an exciting opportunity for you to get in at the ground floor. You're going to make a lot of money.
Everyone's back on Winona as well.
She never left. We left her.
We did leave her for stealing. God, we're pathetic. We're fucking animals, eh? We're just disgusting.
We're dogs. We're low-down, dirty dogs. These people were dehydrating themselves for bathtub scenes left, right, and center. They take a couple of fucking candles or whatever from mall, and suddenly they're cancelled.
How much money do you need to not drink water for 2 days? What do I need to pay you?
A surprisingly low amount. Right now, it would not be a lot. How much for you? Let's start proceedings at $5,000. 2 days, no water. You taking it?
Am I allowed to drink other things?
No, well, no liquids. You can eat food, so you can eat fruit. You know, like apples have got a lot of water in them.
I'm not doing it for $5,000.
Really? I'd fucking do it in a heartbeat.
For $5,000?
If I could eat apples, yeah.
$4,000, no apples.
now we've got a negotiation on our hands. Can I eat other fruit that isn't apples?
Bananas only.
Oranges?
No.
No grapes?
No, only bananas.
Only bananas. Well, other foods?
And steak.
That's the two.
2 days.
One to clog you up, only one to flush you out.
2 days, only bananas and steak.
2 days, no bananas liquids, and steak,
$4,000.
No water. I fucking reckon I could do it because I don't need a lot of water.
These guys are doing it for a product that people will enjoy.
For money. I'm doing it for money. They're doing it for money. It's all the same. But also, I think I could. I think I could do it a lot easier than some other people.
This is a dangerous zone to be in, dude.
Seriously, I reckon I could do it.
I might start up a Pledge Me.
It's so pointless.
Well, imagine if we got the money.
It's so silly.
It's interesting.
Is it?
Well, you'd be sick. The wife's two a doctor. Nah, she wouldn't be heavy.
2 days, I reckon, easy. I reckon toward the end of the second day, it would start to get fascinating. One day, I would do accidentally as it is.
Yeah, I was offering you a lot of water today.
I was fine. Well, I had to drink a whole bottle in the second screening. But I'm quite good at retaining water, I think.
No one is specifically good at retaining water.
No. Trust me on this. No, listen to what I have to say. I don't sweat a lot. I'm good at retaining water.
The thing I'm taking issue with is what you're saying. I am listening to it.
All right. So, final verdict, Guy. Let's put a bow on this thing. This was Do More, the limited series where we see Doolittle three times with Robert Downey Jr. What is your final verdict on the film after seeing it for 5 hours today?
It's okay to be scared. Don't go. Do less. Do less with your life. Don't go to the cinema. Stay at home and read a Wikipedia page of your choosing.
This has been Do More. I hope you've enjoyed it. Goodbye.
We have no choice but to embark on this perilous journey.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.